Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
It is time for So You Think You're an Adult. I'm delighted to say Barbara and Declan join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Yes. How's it going?
Not too bad.
Good.
Since February, I've been looking after my niece and nephew, 8 and 10, most days. I bring them and collect them to school, pick them up, feed them, and then bring them home to my sister-in-law. During the past few weeks of summer, I've taken them during weekdays and brought them to places while she works. My husband, my brother, is away with work, so she was having a tough time of it with his departure and work. So I offered my help, and I love my time with the kids. My issue is that she never, ever says thanks. She has never once offered me a single penny towards our days out. Now, I wouldn't have accepted it anyway, but at least the offer, no? I pretty much put my life on hold to help her out, and she doesn't seem to think it's that big of a deal because I'm a housewife and my kids are in their late teens. Am I wrong in being so angry with her?
Are you wrong with being so angry with her? Kind of yes and no. The line, she doesn't seem to think that it's... that it's that big of a deal because I'm a housewife and my kids are in their late teens, I think is the key to the problem here, in my view. I was a housewife for 10 years, and I remember when I reinvented myself as a journalist, one of the first pieces I wrote was how to survive if you are living the life of a housewife. And one of the most important things is to learn how to say no. Because when you're at home and you're looking after kids and you're running a house, everybody thinks you've nothing really better to be doing than minding their kids as well, or their animals, or their houses, or their elderly relatives, or whatever. And you get all kinds of requests that people think it's quite reasonable to make of you, and it's very hard to say no. So I think what I would suggest to this woman here is that her sister-in-law, rather than being very selfish and self-centered, actually genuinely believes that this is that she's nearly doing this woman a favour, because this woman's kids are a bit older, they don't need her so much. So, you know, she's doing her a favour by letting her look after her kids. Because, like, sure, what else would she be doing? And I think that that's, you know, I mean, I could get on a rant and about how we don't value the kind of unpaid work that women do, mainly women do most of the time, but that's a different thing. But I think it's the same, it's part of the same problem. So therefore, what I would suggest to this woman as a way of kind of dealing with this is to not be quite so available. Now, I don't mean, you know, leave your woman in the lurch, leave the sister-in-law completely in the lurch. But I think it might be a good idea for her to say to the sister-in-law something like, oh, by the way, next Thursday, I'm not around.
Yeah.
So I can't help you out next Thursday. Sorry about that. Just so that she's not being taken for granted, because I think that she is being taken for granted, not out of any nastiness necessarily on the part of the sister-in-law, but just because the sister-in-law thinks, like the world in general thinks, that when you're at home looking after kids, sure, it's grand. You're not really working at all and you're not really doing anything that useful. And when your kids get older, sure, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. But the thing is, even if she has teenagers... teenagers have to be driven places. You have to know where the teenagers are.
Yeah, you do. But you're not not as involved in a hands-on way like you are with younger kids. Yeah. You know, the teenagers will be gone out, will be doing stuff and you'll be at home.
Well, I know.
So, you know.
Like, I have teenagers now. You know, but like you have to remain sober and alert.
You do.
When they're not in the house.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when you got that phone call is going to come in of, you know.
That's a huge issue. Yes. Yeah,
I wonder with this woman, though, whether I accept the fact that people who are housewives or stay-at-home people appear to have less to do, and that can often be a situation that people can take advantage of that. I think that it's more that this woman, who seems to be very happy to be helping out her sister-in-law and her brother, seems to be very happy to spend time with those kids, seems to... she's not raising any issues with that. And even the issue of the financial side of it is that she's seeing that more like it's the fact that it wasn't offered rather than the fact that she wants the money isn't an issue either.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it seems to boil down to the gratitude side of things, to being acknowledged, the contribution not being acknowledged. So I suppose from her point of view, the person who wrote this letter in, she in my head, needs to...
I'm looking at Declan now, struggling away not to insult.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to insult.
Not to insult me over here, so that I might hit him on the way out.
No, it's just a bit, I just don't think that she's clear in her own head as to what exactly she wants out of the whole picture.
She doesn't want to be taken for granted, and which is what has happened. Her generosity has been completely taken for granted, and that's all she has a problem with.
So yes, of course. So when she doesn't want to be taken for granted,
withdraw it.
That's, yeah, I mean, like, how come that isn't, how come she hasn't realized that? Because there's other stuff going on there.
I know, I think
that's
she
the
does.
Sense that
yeah.
she feels she has to do this.
I think she, I think you're right. I think she enjoys being with the kids and I think she has the time to do it and I think she does, she is enjoying it. But the fact, her problem is, as you've said, is that it's been taken for granted and she just wants that gratitude. And the only way you can get it, I think, is to not be quite so available all the time. Because then somebody will say, oh God, now I have a problem. You know, Mary isn't around. What am I going to do on Thursday? You know, he's away. I'm working.
So
the kids are on holidays.
That's kind of, yeah. So I'm coming in from a different angle. I'm saying if you want to be appreciated, you don't necessarily look to be appreciated. You don't ask,
no,
oh, can you please appreciate me?
But you withdraw it a little bit.
You learn to value your own resource, because if you don't value your own resource, other people won't value it at all. That's kind
of
where
that leads on to another thing, which I think, which this woman possibly will head up to in a couple of years, or maybe, you know, in a longer or shorter period of years, is that I think now she needs to be thinking of what she is going to do, because being at home with your kids and running a home, it does get less as the children, you know, become independent and don't need you around quite so much. And, you know, I just think she should maybe start looking, and maybe she's doing this already, and I hope this doesn't sound patronising if she is already doing something.
I do the bit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Maybe she should learn, you know, like making some time for yourself is something you don't
say
do
hobby
either.
Again.
No, I'm not going to say hobby.
No,
but I'm going to say
hobby,
if you want
hobby, hobby.
No,
no.
Have an affair.
Yeah,
have
go,
an affair.
See, take up one of those illegal.
See, the way, I'm not even being taken seriously.
Circuit.
I was going to say she should make some time for herself. And if she wants to maybe learn a new skill, or if she wants to volunteer, or if she wants to go and get a job, or if she wants to go and study, something like that, she should look at the next phase now. Because someday you wake up and your kids are all much more independent, and if you have devoted that huge amount of your life and time and energy to their care, then you it can be difficult to reinvent yourself. So I'm just saying, maybe start to think about that now. You can take that look off your face over there.
Yeah.
Right this minute.
And perhaps also, and I don't know if she does feel it, but perhaps also just to say to yourself, there's nothing wrong with feeling that you do deserve at least a wee bit of appreciation
absolutely.
For doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing wrong
there
at
isn't.
All
no, 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 no. That's what I was saying at the beginning. Yeah. Nobody values the work of looking after kids or
can
a
you
home
take it away.
My husband found out that our 17-year-old daughter had sex for the first time. He absolutely hit the roof and has not talked to her since. She had told me in confidence and said how she regretted it, as it was a very out of character thing for her. We're quite close, so she had a good chat about it. I took her to a health clinic and she was checked for STDs and she's fine, but her dad is very traditional and feels like her innocence is gone. He told me that she has now changed in his eyes and needs to get to terms with how it's changed. She's our eldest, so this is new territory for all of us. I've asked him to sit down as the three of us talk, but he right out refuses. I know he needs time, but he doesn't realise how this is affecting her too. I need them to be friends again. Any ideas on what to do?
Oh God, this guy needs a clatter. He needs a slap in the head. He's irritating me. One thing I notice here, I think that the mother here has played a blinder. She's keeping the communication open with her daughter, and she's taking care of her and making sure that there's, you know, responsibility and all that kind of stuff. The dad's acting like his daughter is like a
princess.
Well, or even like a commodity, like she's like something that you buy. Oh, now you've sat in that, you've ruined it, kind of thing. You know?
Wow. If they gave awards for the most unfortunate phrase used on radio this year.
I have to go home now. I have to go home. Okay, I really thought of a washing machine and not a couch.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. Okay, let's move along. There is this weird thing that dads have about their daughters, that it's kind of like... that somehow they have this kind of fear that the sex thing is coming at them. Don't look at me like that, people. Don't look at me.
Jump in here. Like, you know the way kids hate to think of their parents having sex because they don't like to think of their parents as sexual beings? It goes the other way as well. Fathers often hate to think that their daughters will grow up and have a sex life.
But parents feel that they have the right to interfere in that, and a lot of that is their job to kind of to manage the transition from being a child who has no clue of how the world works into being a young adult who's getting their grips around it to being an autonomous adult who just has their own existence and does their own thing. And, you know, as a parent, you do have that responsibility, but you don't have the right to say that as a child or a young adult makes decisions and choices that somehow now you're ruining yourself for me, because it's not for the parent or the dad. And there's also something a little bit insidious about the idea that dads kind of feel, all these men are out there waiting to kind of come and take advantage and steal away my daughter's innocence.
Like, do you know something though? Annoying. It always surprises me, even that with younger generation, you know, parents who wouldn't have a child at this age, younger parents, and you'll still hear fathers saying it about their small girl.
Yeah.
Like, I know it as a mother of teenagers, you know, if you talk about your kids' social life, shall we say, you know, they say, oh, Janie now, you know, oh, well, my little one now, you know, God, woe betide any fella who comes knocking. And you're going, like, you're not going to say that about your boys.
No, it's something but what does it say about themselves? What does it say about him?
Yeah, exactly.
And the people he grew up with what's going on through
that. But there's a very sexist thing that still exists when it comes to parenting. And I would say that this father, and I'm not, you know, obviously I'm making assumptions here and generalizations, but that if he's thinking about this, about his daughter, you know, that as Declan said, like, that he wants to keep her innocent for as long as possible. I wonder if they have boys, or if he had a son, would he be giving him a high five and telling him he was a great lad and bringing him to the pub for a pint? I kind of feel it might be.
It's the patriarchy in action there. That's totally. Just full on, like, you know, it's patriarchal, it's patronising, and also
it's sexist,
the fact that he hasn't spoken to her.
Yeah.
I know.
That's hideous.
That's hideous. But I would think...
And she's 17. That's pretty average in this country to have sex for the first time.
And I think that, you know, I would echo what Declan said, is that I think, you know, the mother's got a great relationship with her and has been great, you know, the way she's handled it. But I don't think that necessarily the three of them need to sit down and have a chat. I think the wife needs to sit down with the father, first of all, and mark his card in a very kind of strident way and tell
this
him
it's not about you.
It's not about you. And your job as a father is not to behave like this, and tell him how to behave, and then let him make amends with the daughter.
Because, I mean, if he thinks that about his daughter because she had sex, what does he think about his wife who had sex with him?
She's a bigger agent.
Yeah, it's
mad thinking.
There's also this kind of thing that sex is dirty.
Yeah.
And that's an old, you know, that's it's a parallel to the sexism of there's this old Catholic sex is dirty thing. I'm sorry, she's 17. She's an adult. She's agency.
But
she's going to have sexual thoughts and feelings.
I think it also comes from the place where, you know, without wishing to revisit Declan's analogy earlier, but the fact that, you know, he thinks now that she's in some way damaged goods. You know what I mean? Like, it comes from some mad thinking.
There's a very, like, it's a tenuous link, but it's part of the same kind of group of ideas about bodily autonomy and how women's reproductive rights are conceived of by lots of men and some women. I think it's a bit sad to have that kind of thinking, that that's something that's very natural, and it's part of, as you said already, Sean, everybody's kind of growing up. And at 17, you know, come on, you know, get real. A lot of people, Barbara, do you want to share?
No.
I'm 35.
I think I was nearly 40.
All right, we'll do one more. I've been friends with the girl since we were 15. I'm 25 now. And Friday night, we ended up getting really drunk and we had sex. I really regret it. It was so awkward the next day because she continued to be affectionate and I was just not into it. I've no plans to get into a relationship with her, but I think it's what she really wants. I'm such an idiot for sleeping with her. I don't even know how it started. She's a lovely girl and such a great mate, but that's where I want to leave it. Have I totally messed up a 10-year friendship? Is there any way out of this without hurting her? Help me, please.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. He's going to hurt her no matter what way you do it, because she's obviously into him in a way that he definitely doesn't seem to be into her, and she's now reading what happened when they had sex together in a completely different way than he is, and he wants everything to go.
Is that because she's a woman?
No, it's nothing to do with because she's a woman, but he wants everything to go back to the way it was, and it can't.
Yeah.
It'll never be able to go back to the way it was, and no matter no matter what way you look at it, he's probably about to break her heart. And that's not going to be great for her.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to call you up on that note, Barbara, because I don't think that just because she's acted like she's into it afterwards, that necessarily means she wouldn't also and equally be comfortable going back to a kind of a matey thing, because, you know,
I'm giving him more credit now than you are, because they've been friends for whatever, 10 years or something. He knows her pretty well if they've been friends for 10 years. So I'd say, I am assuming he's probably right in that she is into him in a way that he isn't into her. And that she might have been able to, they might have been able to carry on as long as they didn't cross the Rubicon, but they now crossed the Rubicon and that's it. Show is over. She's going to have her heart broken, and because she's thinking that they slept together not because he was drunk but because secretly he really fancied her.
To coin a phrase, Declan, she sat in it and she's ruined it.
Oh no, he's sat in it, who's sat in it? Stand up, stand up. Yeah, no, I do think though that, you know, it is possible to cross the Rubicon or sit in the sofa or whatever it is and then go back to being platonic
and get away. Not if you're in to somebody, it is not. Did it ever happen to you?
Yeah.
And you then could carry on with being friends.
But yeah, because I think that I think, I don't know, I think that...
Ah, stop. No,
I know, I do actually think that it is, I don't know, maybe it's just the I'm from the gay world and people, you know, people do stuff differently. And maybe there's a different attitude sometimes towards sex that might be a little bit...
I think it is possible. It is possible. Yeah, it might take a while.
No.
She's not going to just
take
walk.
A while.
Now, assuming that she's as into it as he thinks she is, but she might go, oh, okay, you're not into it. And it might take her a while to readjust back to that again. But as long as he's honest and it doesn't feel like he was being abusive to her.
They were both drunk when this happened. And if you have sex with somebody when you're drunk, you have to know. And if you've been mates for like 15 years, and then the only time you get together isn't like some kind of starry night walk in Paris or whatever.
Yeah.
It's when you're locked down the pub. You have to know somewhere in the back of your head that this is not how ideally I would have liked it to happen. So there's a certain uncertainty about it anyway.
Yeah, but I think that's all fine if you don't fancy the pants off somebody anyway. And if you haven't been kind of struggling with that for years.
Yeah.
But if you have been and then suddenly it happens, drunk or not, you kind of go, oh God, we've moved on to a different level. And she's now being affectionate back to him. And that's the other clue that I think means that she's actually
quite into
this.
Maybe she feels she has to do that
as
well. That's why I was meaning a bit like, hang on, because what are you supposed to do?
I'd be reading this now that she's possibly kind of about to fall in love and he's about to break her heart, and in which case I think it's toast.
It's all over.
I think it's all over.
Unfortunately for that person, we have a split decision on that one, so we don't know. Adult newstalk.com, actually, by the way, is our email address. People always text in wanting to know how to get in contact. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.